of God, as it is written in the book of Peter, reading chapter 3, from verse 17. Therefore, my dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for all that you have revealed to us in this little book of Peter. We thank you for the church that has brought us, the clarity that has brought us. And now as we listen to Peter just drawing it all to a close and applying it to our hearts, we pray so much, Lord, that you would not just speak to our minds that we understand, but stir our hearts today. And we pray that we put what we learn into practice, that others would see, as we sang just now, that we do have a passion in life, and that is for Christ our Lord. And we ask all these things, thanking you for the joy of giving financially. We, Lord, give not because we must, or because we should, or because it's the right thing. We do it because we love to do it. We're so grateful for all that you have done for us in Jesus. And grant to our council and our finance committee wisdom to use it wisely. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I know it's happened to all of us here today, but you know, when you are with somebody that you maybe are never ever going to see again for, or let's say for a very, very long time, or maybe you've been at the deathbed of somebody that's going, and you are just listening to them for their very last words. You never forget those words. I remember being with my mom and my brother and sister as we were with my dad when he was going to Jesus. Never forget those words as he was with us as a family. Asked me to look after my mom and did all that he wanted to say to us. It was quite incredible. And then God gave him the strength to quote that hymn. Last words I ever heard my dad say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And he went through that hymn and he went, which was unbelievable and wonderful. Today we listen to the final words of Peter. He and his wife are soon going to be killed. They lived in the time of the Roman Emperor Nero, one of the cruelest men ever to have lived. And things were going badly in the city of Rome. And he purposely started a fire and blamed the Christians. And that set in motion a massive persecution. One of the people that died was Peter. Tradition, Clement of Alexandria tells us that when they put him to death, it was together with his wife. An incredible testimony to a magnificent couple who gave their all to Jesus. Now he's told you everything. He's explained the gospel to you and to me. He's warned us about false teachers. He's told us about what God has done for us. He's told us what we need to do. He's explained to us the second coming. He's told us how the world is going to end. He's brought our moral implications. Everything we've been through every word, we've listened carefully, and now his final injunction. May I say to you, friends, it's very important what we're going to say today. It's absolutely critical for your life, and certainly for your testimony for Christ. So what does Peter say to us today? There are only two words that I want you to remember as you go home today. Two very, very critical words. Number one, says Peter, you must watch. Watch. Listen to what he says, see verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. So what Peter is saying to us, brothers and sisters, is be on your guard. Watch very, very carefully. But what must we watch for, says Peter? Well, the first thing is, he says, is watch so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men. So there's number one, friends. You must be careful. Please listen to that, see? You must be on your guard. You must be very, very conscious all the time, every day, that there's error out there and you must not be taken in. There is no excuse, says Michael Green, for complacency in Christians. Error has many attractive faces by which even the most experienced may be beguiled. In God's wonderful kindness, I've got a couple of thousand very, very precious friends. I talk to them every day, as Michael Long knows. They are right at my fingertips. They are my books. I love my books. But the other day, I obtained a number of good theological books. And I went to this person's house to get these books for my library. And I said to this person, I'm torn. Because I want them. But I also don't want to take them from you. She was a student with me at Bible College. She was voted the top theological student at the Bible Institute. And what has happened? She's got into a cult and sect. And it broke my heart, eh, friends? I said to her, I'll look after your books. But I'm going to pray that God will take you out of this. And when you come out, I'll give them back to you. But hopefully you won't want them then. But you know what? It shook me. It shook me rigid. Spent 3 years with somebody, studied the Bible for hours every day, talk, eat, sleep, and drink, and only to find that years down the line, error creeps in. And you know what, my friends? Every one of you are open to that. It could happen to any one of you here and to me. So what is Peter saying? Be careful. Be careful. Be on your guard. This is nothing new, of course. Jesus had also made similar warnings. Jesus said to us, you remember that? Take heed, he said, watch and pray, lest any man deceive you. Take heed to yourselves. In our church, we encourage everyone to get into a Bible study. Why? For this very reason. So that you can so love and treasure and know and understand God's word that you'll be able to pick up error. And so often, I'm asked to, what do you think of this book or what do you think of that book? And I hope I do it with grace and with love. But sometimes I need to say to friends here, I would encourage you to just throw it away. It's not worth anything. Be careful. Is that all right? Second thing. What must you be careful of? This is horrible to read this, man. Be careful that that you do not fall from your secure position. So the second thing, my precious brothers and sisters, that Peter is wanting to say to us is this. Be on your guard. Be constantly vigilant. Be constantly watching. Be constantly examining. That you never ever fall away in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now that's different. Notice what he said there. That you can fall from your secure position. So on the one hand, it is secure. Once Jesus Christ has saved you, he will never ever let you go. That's security. But you know what can happen? You can backslide. You can grow cold. Remember that hymn? Maybe we should ask the angel to let us sing it now and again. It goes like this. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? And what the hymn writer is saying is, you know, when I look back to my conversion, when I first came to know Jesus, maybe many of you can remember that day. Oh, it changed our lives. We love to read the Word of God, and we love to pray, and we love to get involved in the things of God, and it just revolutionized all our thinking and all our priorities. And what happens over the years is that that zeal and that passion goes until you find yourself, and sometimes, if we're honest, we look back and we say, you know, this week, I haven't even read my Bible. You know, when I look back over this past week, I had hours for television, but seconds for prayer. Peter says, yes, be careful. Be careful that you don't fall. And that wonderful relationship that you and I can have with God goes. May I ask you with love and gentleness, friends, has that happened to someone here this morning? Did you sit here this morning? You echo that hymn. Where is the blessedness? When first I saw the Lord. And you long deep down in your heart for those times that you used to have, but they're not there anymore. So, watch. Be careful. God, every book you read, every CD you listen to, every DVD you watch, every meeting you go to, watch, watch, watch. Test everything with the Bible. And watch that you don't fall away. What's the second word? That's number one. Just two today. It's easy to remember. But, see verse 18, but. That's the positive. He's reminded us of the watch. Now what's positive? But. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See? So what's he saying now to us, friend? And it's to my own heart more than to anybody else. I know that. What he says to us is, grow. Grow. You see, spiritually, you and I ought never, ever, ever to stop growing. Ever. We ought continually to be growing spiritually. We're getting all old physically. That's all happening. And growth is taking place in many other areas. That's great. But you know what Peter is saying here? I want you to grow. To grow in your relationship with God. That must be growing. See, my business may be growing in these tough times, or my kids are growing, or this is growing, and I say, well, that's okay. But how's it going with the most important? Growth. Just want to share four things with you on growth. Number one, why must we grow? Why? You know the first reason? Because life brings growth. That's the first reason. Life brings growth. Please, that's true for everything. Martin Lloyd Jones, daughter of Dr. Lloyd Jones, she says, and so the first question that we ask ourselves as we are confronted by this exhortation in 2 Peter to grow in grace and knowledge, the first question is, am I alive? Am I alive? Have I really been born again? Because when a person is really born again and really in a living relationship with God, is growth. Is growth. If there's no growth, then what? Tell me. There's no life. No, you're not dying, you're dead. You see, if there's no growth, there's no life. That's what it's saying. When there's growth, there's life. There's growth. That's why. Second reason. Because it's commanded. Jesus, through Peter, does not say, why don't you think about this? Why don't you consider it? Why don't you ponder it? Why don't you pray over it? Why don't you meditate? No, he doesn't say that. The command from God, the imperative from God is fight, grow, grow, grow. That's what it says. Grow. It's a command, my friends. You and I are under a command from our precious Father. And number three, so that we are no longer going to stay as immature Christians. Remember Paul, well, now that lovely phrase when he said, then we will be no longer like children, tossed to and fro by the waves, blown here, blown there, by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Listen to James Phillip, he's a Scottish preacher, and he's written a marvelous book on spiritual maturity, and he wrote these words. He says, childish Christians, the victims of spiritual tantrums, they make the mistake of what they call a sensitive nature, for a self that refuses to die will never do anything for God. Isn't that frightening? And those who are in constant toss to and fro in periodic enthusiasm, superficial, undiscerning, persisting in living in the shallows, instead of launching out into the deep, they prove to be a liability, not an asset to the gospel, and they do more harm than good. Sure, quite strong. That is right. What Peter is saying to us, to me, grow. So that you don't stay immature. And indeed, so that we can be used in God's service. Remember Ephesians 4:11 says, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. So you and I are caught up in this lovely desire to serve Jesus. So my friends, let me just summarize. I want you to stay with me today. I'm speaking from the heart. I want to tell you it's very important what I'm saying to you this morning. You and I are going to stand before Jesus Christ one day on the day of judgment. Our lives are going to be evaluated. It's a huge thing to me. What does he say? Be careful. Watch. That you don't get into error. Watch. That you don't grow cold and wonder. Rather grow. Grow. So that's the why of growth. Number two, what is growth? What do we mean by that? When Peter Actually, what do I mean? Well, there are two things he tells us about growth. First of all, he says, grow in the grace. You know what that means? It means that slowly, over time, for the Christian who is passionate in their walk with God, there is going to be a graciousness that will come into their lives. Can I tell you a little story? It means a lot to me. He was arguably the best architect in the Midlands. And he went to Saudi Arabia for a couple of years on a massive project there, and he made an enormous amount of money. But he came back from Saudi Arabia, and through a common friend, this man whose name is Arthur, and I became very friendly. He was much, much older than I was, but for some reason, he was willing to take me as a friend. And I loved him as a friend, and I used to pray for him, and spend time with him. But he wasn't a Christian. He had the most violent temper I'd ever seen in a man. He was arrogant, self-opinionated, and jolly naughty. And then one day, he got converted. And we knelt down as this man, Mike will remember him, surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. I can tell you with tears, I was crying. Arthur came and said, Jesus, I'm a multimillionaire, but I'm arrogant, soft-opinionated, proud, and I'll give you my life. And he did. And slowly, Jesus began to work in his life. And I was sent to become my administrator. The first one I ever had, we had to create, so I just wanted him in my office. And he took all my administration, all my notes, all my files, and he put them in order. And he sorted it all out. And you know, one day he came to me and said, don't worry, what else can I do? I said, you know what, sir? Start working in the prison. And he said, I go twice a week up to the prison and visit the people there. Take them Bible studies. And you know, sometimes I used to sit back and say, I used to watch him. I said, what a miracle. It was so, so, so fantastic. Can I use a word? It was beautiful. To see this man become somebody different. He grew in grace. And the arrogance went. And the pride went. And it was replaced by humility and gentleness. An unbelievable love for Christ. So he immigrated. And when he went to live in England, he got lung cancer. It spread to his liver, and he died. In all my years of the ministry, I think I've kept 5 letters. He's one of them. Because he wrote to say, thank you. Phew. It's moving. That's what it means to grow. You see, a wife looks at her husband, and she says to herself, I can't believe this is another man. See? And the man looks at his wife and says, this is another lady. And we look at our kids and we say, wow, this is unbelievable. Look at the change. What is it? When Jesus comes to our life and begins to shape and to mold and to get rid of all that's wrong. And so Peter says, so I want you to grow in grace. So the people know that you and I are gracious, humble, loving, caring people. That's number one. What's number two? Growth means that we grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all the time we are growing in our knowledge of Jesus. We all love Andrew Murray, one of the greatest men ever produced by South Africa. I don't know if he ever got one of these fancy medals they hand out. I wouldn't think so, really. But in my humble opinion, he outshines every other one who's got it. Andrew Murray was a great man. He said this. He said, the great complaint of all who have the care of souls is the lack of wholeheartedness and steadfastness and perseverance in the Christian life. Many of them, we cannot but hope that they are Christians. They come to a standstill. They don't advance. Many do not even remain stationary. Often they turn back to a life of worldliness and formality. What is the teaching that is most needed? What's the teaching, friends, that's most needed in our land? Andrew Murray said, to know Jesus. Yeah. He's right. He's right. Grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of Christ. Point three, how do I do that? We've seen why, we've seen what, but the question is how? How do I grow? Well, of course, you all know that the first reason is I grow through the Bible. I grow through the Bible. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And you want to find people that are growing? You will always find that they spend good chunks of time in the Bible. We love George Whitfield, eh? He was a minister in the Church of England, baptizing people, marrying people, taking Holy Communion, and he wasn't a Christian. And then he got converted, George Whitfield. As a minister, he got saved. Yeah, I am saved, eh? But he got converted. This is what he wrote. I love reading his diaries. His diaries stir you. He said this. My mind is now open. I began to read the Bible for the very first time in my life on my knees. I laid aside every other book, and I began to pray over every word. This proved to be meat indeed, and it was drink for my soul. And every day I received from God fresh light and fresh life and fresh power every day. My brothers and sisters, if you neglect your Bible readings or you're too busy to spend a good chunk of time in the Bible, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow in the knowledge of Christ, and you certainly won't grow in grace. Two, the other great tool is prayer. You see, in prayer, not only do we come into communication with God, but it's a prayer that we receive the very life of God. It's in waiting upon God that we receive from Him. The means of grace are given to us. What are the means of grace? The means of grace are things like Holy Communion, our church services, fellowship. We grow as we meditate. And what that means is that we take the Bible, like your Bible reading this morning, and you, like the cow, and you put it into your mug and you chew it over. You meditate. Think it over. Ponder it over. You grow as you begin to read good, sound books. That helps you. We've got a great library here. If you're not reading a book, get one after the service. I'll go and wait there and help you if you don't know what to read. We're so grateful to the folks there. Read. We want to avoid anything that is harmful. And we begin to share our faith in exercise as we share it with others. But it all takes discipline, you see. Godliness comes through discipline. I get up and I spend time with God. So lastly, what are the conditions? two conditions. Number one, got to be saved. George Whitfield never grew. Oh, he preached every Sunday. He led Holy Communion. And he baptized children. And he visited the sick in the hospitals. But he wasn't a Christian. And then he was saved. And that was the beginning. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that you be coming to this amazing church for many, many years, looking back to Bishop Bell's day, and you say to yourself this morning, hey, when I listen to this lot, am I really saved? Am I really? Am I really and truly coming to a living relationship with God? Am I converted? Number two, I've got to want it. I'm afraid I had meetings in Hammersdale yesterday. I got back at about, it was 10 last night, I think. And I used to have this meeting between the meeting. What's the school of the sharks? What's happening here? You know, he said, who's this message just coming to us? I'm just checking up on the school. And you know what? Often you hear the commentators say, you know who won? Those who are hungry. You know who grows? Those who are hungry. If you're hungry, my precious friends, you'll spend time with Jesus. You'll make time. You'll make time for prayer. Nothing will keep you away from church on Sunday. Nothing. Because you're hungry. But when you're not hungry, little nibble here, little nibble there. Jesus. And then obviously involved. Spurgeon was another one of our heroes. We all love Spurgeon, isn't it? I've got a book called Spurgeon. Now people used to go and visit London in the 1800s to go and see the Tower of London and to go and visit Spurgeon's church. Believe it or not. He said this. There are some who have got down to one service a Sunday. That's their only spiritual food for the week. We have not become greatly surprised at their poor form of religion that sometimes dies altogether. Get involved. Become like my precious friend Arthur, who said, I think he was about 64 when he became a Christian, and said, look, Lord, I've given my whole life to business making money, but I'm finished that. I want to give the rest of my life to Christ. Now, my friends, what does Peter say to us? We finish the book now. Watch. Don't grow cold. Don't get into error. And grow. Grow in grace. And grow in knowledge. Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. We're going to be quiet just for a moment to give you an opportunity. Just perhaps you want to close your eyes and talk to God just in your own life. Let's do that just for a moment. How are things going in your walk with Jesus today? Are you growing? Have you slipped? Are you watching? Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life in you. That I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Come, lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. And I came to Jesus as I was weary and worn and sad, and I found in him a living bread, and he has made me glad. We want to tell you today, Lord, we are incredibly grateful. We are overwhelmed by your love to us in Jesus Christ on the cross. And we want to respond to that love by watching and growing. pray that others would see the graciousness in our lives, would see the knowledge taking place, would see the passion. Please help us. In Jesus' name, Amen.